This week's episode is sponsored by Helio Gas Detection.
Hey everybody, this is Richie from the Metal Cell Podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Gravity Well tonight on the show. I've got Kieran, Tom, Michael and Fionnuala. How are we, lads?
Doing well, cheers.
All good.
Yeah, been looking forward to this. You've been around for a bit, lads, and the new release, Negative Space, is excellent. Thanks for sending it on to me. Just great to get an album like that every now and then come through the letterbox, old school. How do you feel about it now that it's out? I'd say there was a lot of thought, time and effort put into it, and now that it's out into the media world, into people's Spotify, you name it, Bandcamp.
Really good compared to the last one. First album, it didn't really make much of a ripple. Earthbinder first album, so we weren't really sure if anyone was going to care about this one, but it already has more listens and more Bandcamp sales, and really, like, for reviewers to actually take notice of it, and so much positive feedback has been really good.
Yeah, it is very relevant in relation to getting reviewers. And which member of the band looks after that, or do you all contribute trying to spread the word?
It's a joint effort with everyone.
These three and just everyone but me does it.
Talk about it in group chat and eventually someone will crack and send the message.
We've generally sort of tried to. Michael's done quite a lot of the stuff in terms of like getting our march organized and getting the album. Michael actually mixed and produced the album he's probably done the brunt of the work to get us to where we are now. So
yeah, that's important too. Even going back to 2019 with the live session, then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And what kind of way had you arrange songs in relation to that with COVID? We might just talk about that and briefly, even though I hate fucking mentioning it. Yeah. How did it affect G as a band as such?
Our first singer left right when the pandemic hit. So
okay,
we released that. I was like, well, we're finally getting somewhere. And we had like gigs lined up where we're gonna do like the Crawlings album launch support.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
but all cancelled, and then our singer left. So it was like, all right, we're screwed. But we kept just trying to plug on, rehearsing the set. And then once things died down a bit, we thought, all right, let's try and get a new singer.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues with Earthbound is we were stuck during COVID without a singer.
Okay.
We don't even practice and write songs, but we just had to sort of leave the structure open enough to fit lyrics into later on. And then,
so then I sort of had to, when I came in, sort of had to kind of cram lyrics into sort of already sort of ready song structures, so a bit of a rush to try and sort of get them to fit in. So it's been a bit different this time around.
Yeah. Were you originally a 5-piece, lads?
Yeah.
Yes, Elliot Russell was the other guitarist other than Tom, and then he's gone off greener pastures with Wordomized, and
it's like the exact object. Wordomized, like a, I don't know if you know them, like a grindcore,
power violence
grindcore punk. So it's like the opposite of our sound.
Yeah, so he drove in that direction. Yeah,
yeah. But we still share practice space with him.
Yeah, we're still mates. Like, but he was just like heard all our like psychedelic stoner stuff. He's like, nah.
And did he actually play on Earthbound?
Yep.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Okay.
He recorded that and engineered that.
But we weren't really on the same page in what we're going for. There's like doom metal songs, there's chilled out stoner songs, so it's a bit all over the place, that one.
You can hear that in Earthbound a wee bit. It's kind of a mixture of sounds on it. And then this was the first time we sort of had a settled lineup for an extended period of time and sort of got a more focused sound there.
We'll just go back to Earthbound. When that was wrote, was there other songs on Earthbound or titles or ideas that made it onto this album?
No.
Okay.
No.
The more though, like, so Earthbound was actually the last song that was written on Earthbound, and it was probably the first song that I was in the band where it was written, so I think that's probably got a more more structured around like the vocals and stuff as well, like there's more like consistency to it.
And we like the sound of that song. It's like, well, we're gonna do this sort of stuff,
And I think that's what kind of drove sort of the sound that we have now. Sort of the Earthbound song was probably the like our way into.
That's cool. Whose idea was it to get Colin Bulger involved in the artwork for Earthbound?
That was Elliot, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he's amazing because I'd never heard of him, and then saw his stuff, and then Elliot, I think he did a sketch or like he had some vague idea of.
Yeah, Elliot had pretty much laid out what he had in mind, and then.
And yeah, well, we're so happy with what we got back from him.
Yeah.
I wish we could afford to use him all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Colin did the artwork for the Metal Cell as well. Talented dude. It's lovely to acknowledge him on the show. Is there an artist amongst ye now that did the current album?
So I did this one myself. I sort of painted a rough idea of what I wanted on canvas, because it's got a wee square canvas the same size as a record cover.
Wow.
I wanted them in, because I'm useless with Photoshop, but if I have something scanned in or a photo or something, I can work around it in Photoshop. It's just getting the idea from scratch in Photoshop's a bit much for me. But
so well, fair play, Mike. I think it's absolutely fabulous, and it's a nice continuation of what Colin really started. So there is a team going through it with the art, and you didn't fucking resort to AI, did you?
No. may have used a wee bit of a healing brush in Photoshop, but
that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. So another kind of interesting thing about the latest album, it being called Negative Space, the actual title of the album doesn't appear in any of the songs. Is there a meaning behind that, or?
You come up with that space, didn't you?
Again, just reading around the sort of the idea of the songs and the lyrics that Fionnuala's come up with and the theme of the album, and like I found a Wikipedia article about some Japanese concept of negative space, and it really chimed with what we were sort of going for, with like, because it's stoner and it can be repetitive especially when you're jamming it before you've got lyrics and stuff. You can think, well, this is going on way too long. Nothing's changed for 32.
Yeah. But we're not filling it with vocals, like, and that was probably one of the things that I tried to intentionally do, was like say more with less.
Yes, the bits you leave out are as important as the bits you keep in.
Yeah,
because it is interesting as well, even Fionnuala, the way what you bring to the table as a vocalist, first of all, but also there's this chanting, humming, you know, different uses of your voice rather than, we'll say, vocally expressing yourself, but it still gives the same expression of whatever the song needs. I find that interesting with you. I mean, sometimes you don't necessarily have to fucking have lyrics, just the way your voice carries over the music. Gives it another layer, maybe?
Yeah, I think that, like, there were some of the songs, so that as Above and So Below, like, we knew kind of when we'd sort of started writing that one, that we weren't, it was always going to be an instrumental. Then in those types of songs, I would sort of try and use my voice as an instrument rather than vocals, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And what's your background, Fionnuala, musically wise?
I don't have any like formal like education or anything like that. I have been in cover bands. Like I sort of, you know, did a bit of gigging around sort of like little function bands and cover bands when I was sort of in my late 20s. But aside from that, I've really just been more of a hobbyist. Gravity Well was my first sort of venture into an actual active band that was writing their own music and through recording and releasing. So it's been a big sort of learning curve as well to get all the techniques and stuff down.
And how did you find her, lads?
Joinmyband.com. You might be $5 member, Kieran as well. But it works. It's a main, you know, bulletin board to find members, you know.
And what was the job spec? Can you remember?
Yeah, it was just a singer wanted for semi-established. Stoner, we had like 3 gigs, but and then Fionnuala sent through a video of, and I was like, really good singer, but you probably not gonna like her stuff, I thought. But but then you came down and you'd actually learned, because we've had a bunch of singers down, and some of them show up and you're like, So have you learned your songs? They're like, no. Did you learn that cover we wanted you to do? No.
Stop. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think stoner bands suffer from that problem more than other bands?
Yeah, probably.
Possibly. I think a lot of people were just using it as a way to meet interesting people.
I don't know. Who knows? But no, when Fionnuala showed up, you'd learned through the songs perfectly, and then within a week you'd added lyrics to two others, so it worked out really well. But it means
yes.
We got a permanent singer like 4 or 5 years after forming, so just had to be patient.
Yeah, and Fionnuala, had you always mastered keyboards and synths? Was that something that developed as you joined the lads, or?
I had never touched a synth until I joined Gravity Well.
Okay. So there's hope for a lot of people like me that never played synth that I could possibly do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Tutorials or something. Yeah.
A synth that you actually like the one that the band had whenever I sort of joined was sort of kind of difficult to work with, but then I bought one for myself that I was able to like really sort of know my way around, and it's now got to the point where like even just live on the fly I can really quickly get the like whatever noise I want to make from it without any issue really.
Yeah, and Kieran and Mike, the rhythm section, how do you write songs? Is it a particular bass line that gets?
I think we all generally will all have our own individual ideas that we demo at home.
Okay.
And then we'll just jam them out, and through the course of the errors of learning other people's music and playing it the way you think someone wants you to play it. The way that it should be played, it sounds the best.
And yeah,
there's
for sure,
quite a few songs in this album where the end section, for example, of the abstract is I think the favorite bit of the whole band.
Kieran came up with that drum bit. It was really cool.
Yeah, so. But that was just, let's just play this until we lock it in, but just playing it over and over again, just this needs to be repetitive. This needs to be the sludgy end bit of the song.
Because some people just like, you know, they write songs on their computer and then that's it. But we're always sure to play it live first and get a feel for it. And
yeah, of course.
We give each other a lot of space to sort of like experiment as well. And you know, we'll try new ideas with the song, and like everybody will be sort of really open with each other and sort of give suggestions on like whether they think something works or not, or sort of it might sound better a different way. But it's always really sort of safe space for us to sort of really just experiment and do what we feel. It's what's resulted. You've heard the end result.
And what about you, Tom? What influences would you be bringing to the band as such?
Just like more like the Riff Sabbath stuff. I know it's really boring to say Black Sabbath is a bit influenced, but they just are. I like real heavy riff stuff. I love Truck Fighters. Stuff like that was an influence on this one. Yeah. I tried to leave some of the classic soloing, like classic guitar solo stuff behind in this album, but it never stays away for long. They always make an appearance.
It does. Do you know what? I enjoy that then. I look forward to when the guitarist breaks off and puts in a solo, you know? Like once it suits the song, obviously.
Yeah, we have a lot of like big passages where it's just a lot of space to fill, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think, shit, I have to play this live. Why did I do that?
The name Gravity Well, obviously, I'm presuming, comes from Monster Magnet, yeah?
Everyone thinks that, but no. We didn't even know there was a song called Gravity Well.
You're shitting me. Seriously, a stoner doom band.
I don't like them, no.
they're an outlier on the stoner world for me.
They're a bit like Dude Bro Rock or something. Yeah.
So come on, come up with the excuse then. What was the name?
The sort of crossover of like space and the occult.
It did take a year. We couldn't agree on a name for how long. And it was only because we were offered a gig, but we still didn't have names.
We just had to finally decide. Okay.
Gravity Well is the best. Do you think you came up with it?
Space? Yeah, I think I went through a whole list of like physics terms just because that's... Redshift was one of the options, I think.
Delta V for a while.
Jesus, you're not kidding. Oh, man, thank God. That's up there with the worst. Delta V.
Because like, when people would ask, oh, what's your band called? I was too embarrassed to say.
Why do I think of you all just dressed as military with face paint on it? Thankfully, you settled on Gravity Well. It's a great name, and it's just strange that it's Monster Magnet related, in my opinion. What about the logo then, Mike? Were you responsible for that?
No, Peter from Nomadic Rituals.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, Pete, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really talented guy for art and music and everything. He's
generous with his time as well. just did it off the cuff for us.
I think it was going out with our first singer.
Yeah.
That probably helped.
But yeah, he just scored up the gap. I don't think we'll give him any directions. Well, other than Gravity Well, and we like the idea of the sort of physics diagram aspect of it, and he just nailed it, just out of the blue. One less thing to worry about.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things that
hope we'll pay him.
I don't think so. I don't think he wanted paid. I think he was just happy to do it.
Yeah. I'm going to play a track there now, Delirium, which was the first single, wasn't it, lads? Yeah. Why was that the first single? Is it just because it covers all the bases, really, in relation to the album? Or?
Yeah, it was actually the first song we actually wrote from this album as well.
Well, I think, Kieran, you wrote As Above, the first one, and then that and Delirium were the sort of the psychedelic, you know.
Yeah.
Delirium's first recorded.
It was
the first one that we had, like, totally nailed down, but it sort of set the tone for...
Yes. Yeah.
The album was
going to
sign.
Yeah, so. It's my favorite on it, probably.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give it a spin there. Yeah, fantastic track, lads, in fairness. Fionnuala, that vocal again, the way it just drifts over the music, just ebbs and flows there. You think of even Dolores from the Cranberries, the way she uses her voice over certain songs. You can criticize me for using the Cranberries by all means too, but...
I actually get that comparison quite a lot. I've heard it so many times.
Oh, really? Okay. But look, I didn't know.
I'll take it as a compliment. I love them.
Yes.
They're one of my big musical influences as well. So I'll take that as a major compliment.
Yeah, excellent stuff. It is definitely a lot more groove driven compared to Earthbound. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's by design. Some of the we didn't really like doing the slow doom stuff. There's some songs we would dread playing live. The stuff with more of the. You know,
slower stuff is hard to drum to as well.
Yeah, I was just going to bring you in there, Kieran. Like, how bad does it get with the rest of them in relation to song lengths as a drummer pulling back from reality?
I would try and push them all in the other direction. I'd like long songs, like, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's like I don't mind a 10-minute long song. It's no problem.
Like, because I was surprised when I got the album, because I suppose with preconceptions with any stoner doom bands that you know, there's always really long songs. But like with the 6 songs, it only comes in at 34 minutes, you know, which is impressive.
Yeah, quite short. But I think, yeah, the first one's pretty short. So then the rest of them sort of make up for that time a wee bit as well. They're not too long. You want to be careful being excessively too long with the song as well.
Self-indulgent, because usually when we play gigs you get half an hour, so then like you can play two songs.
Yeah, that's the trouble, isn't it, Tom?
We have probably actually shaved it quite a lot subliminally. We're just new album is 3 minutes when we play live.
Yeah, so like we can actually now pretty much play the entire album in a set.
In a set, yes.
Yeah, which is what we will be doing.
Yeah. I think that's important, because with previous doom bands, I'm not going to name, but like, Jesus Christ, 2 songs and that's it. You'd be lucky to get 2 songs into it. And it's fine for maybe those people that never heard of them, but like for the fans of the band that they mightn't necessarily even be headlining, you've got like 2 songs and you want 5 or 6 songs, and the 2 songs, 30 minute set, and you're just going, fuck's sake. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's good, man, that you kept it down. Is there any bands, Irish bands, like Nomadic Rituals, for example? What a band.
Yeah.
Elder Druid, want to give shout out to bands that you admire in the scene itself? Like,
I think Space Shepherds are awesome.
Yeah.
Peter's in them.
Live twice now, and they've just blew the roof off the place each time now.
Yeah.
Especially United Tribes that time. Mm-hmm.
Slomatics,
of course.
Of course, yeah.
Red Mountain, they're pretty good. Yeah. They started. They're newer bands. They called it. They released their album called Earthbound. Pretty much the day after. That's how well people heard about the first one. But they're good. Yeah. We don't really listen to as much harsh vocal stuff, honestly.
Have you come across Slung from a Tree and True Home?
Slung from a Tree, yes. Not True Home though.
No. Yeah, they're 2 great bands now that have played up in Belfast and Tombs as well. So there's quite an interesting blend of bands around Ireland that are all doing their own thing that could fall comfortably into the doom, stone or psychedelic scene.
Yeah, we used to have a guy, Jake from Elder Druid, put on a Crypt of the Rift.
That's right, I was at one of them, yeah.
So that was a great showcase. It was our first ever gig and great showcase for that sort of stuff. But there's too many good bands in Ireland. That's a problem.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? It's a great complaint to have. I mean, you did Metal to the Masses as well. How did you find that whole experience?
What's your first?
Yeah, so the Metal to the Masses was actually my first gig with Gravity Well and the band.
Wow, what a start.
So we were like we were literally being judged on our first venture. So yeah, no pressure at all. We were on in our heat with 12 Gauge Outrage.
You did actually. You played in Escorti for their album launch.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys are great guys.
Worth a 3-hour drive. See them for a bit.
Luckily we got through to the semi-final that time around. It was a really, really tough semi-final. I think James Lovely actually showed me the score sheet. Like we weren't far behind.
That wasn't the one hardly with Nomadis on it, was it? Or did they win it?
Mm-hmm. No. They didn't win, but they, I think they still managed. I think they still got to Bloodstock. I think Haint won.
Haint won.
Oh,
yes.
For fuck's sake, lads! Jesus, like
that was crazy. So
that was crazy for Fionnuala's first gig and all, man. You got to the semi-finals. That's very impressive, to be fair.
And you're in front of all the industry people. You know what I mean? People who put on gigs and stuff. So we got a couple of shows up the back of that and stuff too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, cool. In relation to, we'll say, audiences, Fionnuala, like, okay, Metal to the Masses is gone now and stuff. Interacting with the crowd, or do you talk, or how do you fill the empty space between songs? Or do you have music going in the background or what?
Yeah, It kind of depends. Sometimes, like, we'll maybe just sort of transition into the next song. Other times, I'll just take a bit. I don't do a lot of, like, crowd banter. Like, it's more just sort of introducing ourselves, introducing the bands that are coming up after us.
Okay.
People, and maybe just sort of, you know, plugging our album or, you know, giving the names of our songs. But generally, like, I don't have a lot of crowd banter, really.
Well, we can't be like, what the fuck is up, Belfast? 7 minute long psychedelic. Yeah.
No, that would be hilarious, especially for you. But it is something to think about as you develop your live presence going forward. Even do you have, like, smoke machines, psychedelic lights coming through, and do you maintain the mystique by not even talking to the crowd? You know, this.
Well, we had an idea of a space, talk about their projector.
Yeah, we've had an idea for a long while to get a short through projector and have it, like, just visuals to go with your music, sort of triggered by the what's playing and stuff like that. But we don't know how
feasible
will be, and
yeah,
getting stuff
on the venue
and tested, and
might really
annoy
the venue.
Bring stuff in,
rock up with a projector.
Yeah,
can we set this up?
So. Yeah, like, would your stage setup take a lot of room anyway? Like, a lot of bands, again, there's a lot of pedals with guitarists and bass players, or what is your equipment setup?
Probably because I have the synth setup as well, sort of.
Yeah, keyboard mode.
Yeah, so, and I've actually, yeah, my synth setup's since got more complicated, so I've got, like, my synth, and I've also got, like, a MIDI keyboard so that I can do my synth noises and play a melody at the same time.
Okay.
It also means there's a lot of multitasking involved.
Of course, yeah.
So trying to sort of do all that and keep time while I'm singing. So I sometimes I need just the in between the songs to take a breath, because both my hands are constantly, like, on the keyboard or synth, I don't really have time to even take a drink, you know, like, during the songs or anything. So,
wow, people listening to this now will have a lot of sympathy for you there, and Michael just leaning back there laughing away. So, are you the band master, Mikey?
No, I'd be the nerd. I know how to do some stuff. That's about the height of it, calm and fluent. I think it's pretty much equal. Like, yeah. They always run things past everyone, and it's just throw the ideas in the pot and see what the best idea is.
What was your favorite show to date that you played, lads?
We did, well, I think it was a center called United Tribes. It was just, like, pretty much a room rented out by people that you could drink and smoke in, and
That was the first time we played longer than half an hour.
Yeah, that was our first headline.
That was the first headline set we played.
Okay.
Called Sacredness, and some weird noise.
Optic Chain and Asphyxiation.
Yeah, yeah, and it was just, like, a really weird lineup. But it was the first time I had, like, a lot of, when you play the Stoner Doom band all the time in the crowd, you know, yeah, arms staring at you, but the crowd were crazy at it. We got to play for 45 minutes.
We had a mosh pit.
We had
an encore.
Yeah.
We had boobs.
So that was my favorite.
That wasn't too long ago. Was that only last year, lads?
Yeah, it was August.
It got shut down. But we're hopefully going to play United Tribes Festival up in Oman. Hopefully, we'll see what happens.
Who's behind that? United Tribes?
I think it's Slap Promotions.
Yeah.
So is it just a Belfast thing, is it?
No,
it's a lot of Belfast and local acts, but I think there's a good few international acts good for it as well. It's like a wee collective.
Yeah, it's very artsy. It's very hippie, artsy, weird. A lot of, like, DJs and stuff.
Weird.
Eclectic, yeah.
Full of students.
There was a band played Cork, Urban Assault, 2 weeks ago. I really enjoyed them. Morning Beloved, you played with them as well.
Oh, yes, we did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were.
That was a really good gig as well.
We were really intimidated because it's just, like, so many. Who was the other band?
Yeah, because Darkest Air were there. So
yeah.
We had her the Sir Luke Harris' husband was off in Conan as well. So we with a lot of industry people at that gig.
There's a lot of respect in musicians. Yeah. It's felt like we're not good enough to be here, but it was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably my favorite was probably Elephant Tree.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, class. Yeah.
Although that 12 gauge one down, because it's one of the most recent ones, and it's been all the music that's ended up on the latest album as well. And
yeah, I think that was probably our first gig where we played the new stuff.
And as a four piece.
And as a four piece, yeah. And then we had just the whole setup of that sort of converted church.
Yeah, that was deadly. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
We didn't know it was going to be like all ages, and we thought like, oh, these teenagers are going to hate us. Nordy's coming down playing our slow. But they were cool. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll just talk about the visual aspect of the band. You've got a video out now at the moment. Who organizes the videos? Michael, yeah, I apparently guessed.
So yeah, the video is AI, but I find it quite interesting playing around with the AI. It's clearly AI. It's obviously, to get that animated would have thousands of pounds.
But you do put a lot of creativity. It's not like a press a button.
Oh, no, exactly. And do you know what I like as well, Mike? And I've done it myself. There's certain film archives online where you just go back and you get all these amazing US documentaries in the 50s and 60s.
I think that's most of our previous videos have been done from, I think, the Trellinger archive on archive.org. And
yes, it's great, isn't it? It's fun going into it. Like,
I could spend hours just looking through old stuff like that. It's
like we want to do a video for every song on the album, but we'll have to do it. Yeah.
Then you'd lose the bass player, Tom. And if you had an unlimited budget, what would be the perfect song off the album, and who would you get in to do it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think the forest would be a good one for a video.
Yeah.
The forest, yeah. Okay, let's work with that. What team or what idea would you have with it for the video? And who would you get in to do it?
David Lynch.
Yeah, Twin Peaks, man.
Yeah. We've got some ideas for that as well, because Kieran lives out in the country, so we've got like weird effects of, you know.
Yeah, he took a wee video of him walking around his country estate.
A wee cottage in the country, so like a wee forest beside it. I'm not that rich and poor. No one on the estate. Not yet. Maybe soon.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be perfect, all right, wouldn't it? David Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did ask you what would be your dream one. Okay, so merch and CDs. Please tell me there is going to be a T-shirt with that beautiful art on it, and there's going to be a CD as well with it.
Oh, yes, there's T-shirts. We've got skins and lighters already. We're going to do CDs this time as well.
Skins.
So I think luckily we've got enough from the Bandcamp fund, I think, just to cover getting an initial.
Yeah, some people ask about CDs, but you don't know how many the band actually is. It's hard to
start with a short run and sort of see what the demand
is. Look, 150, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
And the excess, then you just have them on your merch table anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Like the dream would be able to afford to get vinyl, but that's just.
Yeah, you'd buy side.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
size. Yeah, did you see the Dowan release on vinyl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah. That 10-ton slug one as well looks.
Oh, yeah. I have it ordered, Mike.
There
I got the ooze version.
What's the ooze version?
It's kind of slime. I suppose like a tainted yellow by the looks of it, with kind of mottled black running through it. And I've ordered the crows as well. I dropped €80 there yesterday, just going, wow.
Well, I seen an article yesterday or the day before, someone did the math. They had a quibble with the artist and said, no, I've done the math. This slug's about 36,000 tons at least.
I love it. So that's great news. And I don't think there's merch up on your Bandcamp page yet, is there, lads? No, is it updated?
Yes.
Once we get our CDs and our t-shirts in stock, then we'll put them up in the store.
Yeah, I think we have a deadline of start of April to get it for.
Yeah, we want to get them ready for our next gig at least. So yeah.
Okay, cool. Right, I'm gonna play one of my favorite songs off the album. It's So Below, and this is the section I picked. Yeah, that's class. Like that song, I just like the way you use the rhythm as well, not to crowd it with fucking notes. Again, we talked about it, it allows the music to build up tension, it draws the listener in, and the songs breathe better. Is that an art form in itself? Does that come with like just learning these riffs over the years and then getting to a point where this is nice now?
Definitely, Kieran. Michael, I get nervous. I grew up playing thrash metals, and these guys are know about like making space and building tension, and not just trying to fill it with notes, as you said. So those guys definitely.
Yeah, I think like there was a couple of songs in Earthbound where there was a lot of notes, and I really struggled to sort of write
okay
with it. And like obviously this one's an instrumental, but it just sort of flows so much better. It's just easier to sort of feel the music and sort of
know what. Yeah, would you agree with that, Mike?
Yeah, you know when you just need to get that slow, you can get the slow headbang going to it, you know you're doing something right, basically, and it's, you can get a bit busy playing lots of notes in a riff or trying to get too much rhythm in. It's,
and you have to keep it going repetitively to make it hypnotic.
Yeah,
you're on way too long, but yeah. Then if you shorten it, it's not, doesn't make sense in the song.
Core idea, but we'll keep the just keep it repetitive, and then there's so much space with the synth and the drum fills and guitar. There's so many layers you can add on top
of
it. Whereas that slow riff just keeps that slow headbang going, and that's what you want.
And recording the drums, Michael, had any struggles with that?
No, again, I think we got lucky with that. I think
just my plan.
that definitely helped. Again, I think probably share the room with Elliot. Elliot had it all. I think he already had it mic'd up for something he was working on. So I think we lucked out there.
Really? Yeah, because often that's the most difficult part of.
Yeah, and luckily Elliot doing it on the first album knew what he was doing, and I was there beside the laptop. So
and he was still willing to answer any questions.
Exactly. Yeah. He provided quite a lot of technical help on this album, I think.
Yeah. Like, did you see the clips of the crawling and Andy recording all that stuff, man? You could feel the pressure he was under and the tension as well.
Yeah. I think me and Kieran attended Electric Octopus as well, did a live recording night in Crumlin. Yeah. It was fascinating as well. So it's opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Okay, cool.
Recording things one at a time.
Okay,
so lads, if it was all to end tomorrow, What do you hope listeners will be able to take away from your music?
Something to enjoy when they're at the house, yeah. And if they come out to see us as well, they have a good experience when they're watching us too.
Just so they know it's like authentic and they can actually enjoy it, and it'll maybe, you know, people in 10 years might even be listening to it online or something would be cool. But
yeah,
the goal of this kind of music is someone will roll a joint for the dog.
I think as well, just being able to just sort of draw people in, like that, like we've heard a few people say that, like, it just sort of sucks you in, and like you just, before you know it, you've listened to the whole album. And I think that's probably one of the sort of best takeaways that I've heard from people saying it.
So many people have commented, I usually don't like female vocals. Right? And it's trapped, not a great, it's a compliment, but a bit, it's, you know,
that's all good. So gig wise before we finish up, you have one coming up in the Voodoo in Belfast on April the 9th with Elder Druid and 1,000 Mods. That's going to be intense.
Nervous, but yeah.
Yeah, we've a couple more in the pipeline that just haven't been announced yet, but
okay.
We have a few more lined up.
Will there be a trip down to Wexford again, maybe?
We would love to. We would always be happy to make that journey.
We're so focused on getting ready for 1,000 Mods right now.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah. And I love the way that none of you have mentioned the Siege, but would you play it if you got offered it?
We were offered it.
It's not like we keep asking.
We had asked before. We reached out to Bad Rep, but we didn't hear anything back. But we don't really want to just sort of keep pestering them either. So
it doesn't matter for socially awkward people.
We're also incredibly socially awkward. All four of us. So
we're not good. Marketing ourselves, right? and there's, as we talked about before, there's so many great metal rock bands in Ireland, so it must be hard for the Siege guys to pick.
Oh, it is, yeah, without a doubt. But the fact that you have a new release behind you as well is always looked favorably on, you know.
Yeah, hopefully, we'd love to do it, of course.
Yeah.
Who knows? The Halloween one could be the one for you in October. I'm looking forward to the one that's coming up in Easter, actually. Have any of you made the trip down to see any of them yet? Sieges?
No, I don't know.
I've had friends who played it. They absolutely loved it, though. They said it's amazing. It's just a track.
Yeah, and there's also another really good one coming up in the summer. Shout out to Raj and Monkfest. That's on in Limerick.
I don't think I've heard of that. We've played that.
Yeah, so there's another one to keep an eye on. And, you know, you're always welcome down in Cork if we can get you down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it, lads. Anything else you want to add before we finish up?
I just want to shout out that Michael had some guest vocals on the album as well. That hasn't really been talked
about. They weren't buried in the mix. No, surely not.
So he... in As Above and So Below, so there's a male vocal chanting along with me. That's Michael.
Class.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us on. Hope everyone likes the album. And
anyone out there that does want us to play, always just feel free to get in touch.
Yes, contact G. You're available for gigs both here and the UK. As I said, it's a fantastic release. Check it out. Negative Space, Gravity Well. You were listening to them. Kieran, Tom, Michael, and Fionnuala, thanks a million for taking the time to come on the show.
Thanks for having us. Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers. And crucially, support your local metal scene.